Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, hump day, 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue talking about this process that I'm immersed in today. And that process is what we know as death or bereavement or grief. You guys know my earth angel. Has transitioned, as has passed on, has she shed the limitations of this body. And it's important for my children who are struggling with this process and for everybody else who has went through this process at some point in time in your life, and you may have at some point in time struggled with this process as well. And it is this inability to understand, especially in the West and in our Western culture, this process of death and burial. Even though this process is explained in vivid detail inside of the scriptures, it's still we still don't understand the transition. Brothers and sisters, we all love and are loved. Each and every one of us, that goes without saying, that if something happens in a person's life and that person is removed from this plane, from this disposition, from this 3D reality, I mean, it is blaringly and blatantly obvious to me that there is going to be some type of a grief process. And can I, I got a text in that can someone text me? Let me know if you can hear me. And just to make sure that the sound is coming through, I did receive a text in that the sound wasn't, or they was not able to hear. And before we continue, I want to make sure that the sound is coming through. Through sounds great. Okay. So, okay. So for everybody that's not, it maybe you have to check the sound on your end. Cause it seems like the sound is coming through for my other listeners. And so as we talk about this topic today, it's a difficult topic to talk about during a time of grief when it shouldn't be. Everybody knows that things happen, you know, in this life. And because of our physical limitations, the spirit is eternal. The spirit lives forever. But the body has limitations. At least that's what they tell us. But even the body doesn't have limitations. We've been programmed with these limitations. And so thanks, everybody, for the thumbs up on the sound. So the body has these limitations, but the spirit doesn't. But it's really interesting to me because the Bible itself says that Yahushua came to do away with this process, but yet we are still engaged in it. And so my concern is for my children and for everybody that's going through some type of a process like this. And so it's extremely, extremely, extremely important. Each and every person on this call today will experience this. Everybody has loved ones. We all will go through this process of what we call death. But there is no death. Yahushua came and he took the keys of death and the grave. So that means that our definitions of this process is incorrect. And as I've been saying for 20 years, we have definitions. We live our life based upon, you know, these terms and these labels that are given to us by Noah Webster, this harmonious arrangement, and the dominant culture. These are not our terms. These are not our arrangements. These terms and these arrangements have been given to us. They were here when you got here. Everything that you do in your life was predetermined. It was here before you got here. And it's very important that everybody on this call understand that process. And so today we want to break that down. And I'm going to switch mics just to make sure, because I'm still getting saying that that there's some static or pushback. So just one moment, everybody. I'm going to switch mics. All right. Okay, so hopefully you guys let me know if this sounds any better. So I did switch over mics because that was some static. People were saying that was a little static, a little pushback from the mics because this topic is so important. This happens a lot when I do these types of messages. So thanks, everyone, Sister Deborah, Brother George, everybody for the thumbs up. Let me know that the sound is okay. So just continue to monitor that, brothers and sisters. I want to get this message out, especially for my children. And especially for anybody that has a loss, anybody that has suffered some type of a loss, it's important to understand that everything that you know about death is a lie. The church has all bamboozled. We've all been bamboozled. We've all been lied to. We all walk around in a state of fear, doubt, and unbelief because of the lack of ability. It is not your fault, but we got poor definitions of these terms of these and these words that we use. Death, my brothers and sisters, is not what you've been taught. there is no such thing as death as we know it. Death means an entrance into a fuller life. Death means that you have exceeded the limitations of this body. The one thing that Shimura told me for 19 years, especially the last 2 years, every conversation I had with my daughter, who was an earth angel, was sit down here by source to teach me how to love, because I was devoid of that ability to understand that process. And now I get to extrapolate the last 2 years that I had with my daughter when she was explaining to me that, Dad, the limitations of this vehicle that I've been given, it doesn't serve me anymore. I'm bigger than this. Now, but Shimura, this is the body you got. She said, okay, Dad, let's make this body work for me. And I was telling her the things that to do. Death is the inability to maintain mental effort. Let me say it again. Somebody should write that down. Death is the inability to maintain mental effort. Let me say that again. Somebody should write that down. Death is the inability to maintain mental effort. The spirit stays in the body as long as there is a mental connection to the body. And I'm going to give you the biological proof. I'm going to get, a cosmological proof. I'm going to end up, I know I'm already going to write a book on this topic, on the ascension process and the true bereavement process that should be taking place. Now, I coined that phrase way before Shimura passed away when I was considering 2020 total awareness. And I remember writing this down and saying this during the show. I was thinking about, rebranding myself as a spiritual consultant, a private spiritual consultant, or a private ascension specialist. And the only other person that I know that's more qualified to talk on this topic is one of my other clients, Sister Carlette, who's assisted, five or six people with the transition process, who has a deeper understanding of what goes on or what is going on when you die. So the death is the process of detaching from a fleshly vehicle. That's it. Death is the freedom. Death is freeing the conscious, the spirit, or the awareness of the handicaps and the disability of the flesh and the physical plane. That's death. Death is a process of removing your soul, if you want to use that term, or your spirit, from a physical body. Now, it changes just a little bit whenever there's a violent death or a sudden death where it is a hostile takeover, because the enemy then, he wants to trap you in this plane. Because remember, the more attachments you have in this plane, that traps you in this earthbound plane, this third dimensional, this 3D reality. So whenever someone dies and they have attachments in this plane, that limits their ability to ascend. That limits their ability to transcend this dimension. Because remember, the Bible talks about the cares of this world, the pride of life, and what's the third strand that keeps you trapped in this dimension. So everybody has this, pride of life. We take pride in our life. So the pride of life, another thing that traps us in this dimension is the cares of this world. And that's what the Bible says, friendship with this world makes you an enemy. Thank you. Lust of the flesh. That was the next one. Pride of life. Lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes of friendship with this world keeps you trapped in this dimension. And so what my daughter was telling me was, Dad, I didn't have those. And I kept telling her, but Shimura, look at all of this greatness in this world. She's like, Dad, am I interested in that? This world is too small. My spirit is too big. My love cannot be contained in this little dimension. This vehicle that I'm in, it is limiting my ability to express, expose, and expand myself. And I was telling them, well, let's improve the vehicle. And so for 19 years, we was engaged in this process of improving the vehicle. I put up the scripture, 1 John 2:1, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, And the pride of this life is not of the Father, but of this world. If you want to stay in this world, keep these three things. Even after you die, if you still have this, you are stuck like Chuck. You're just a disembodied spirit. You're a sprite. You're a genie. You're a ghost. You're an apparition. You will be stuck in this dimension. The church don't teach all this, man. And so you're not supposed to exit this dimension until you relieve yourself. You've exhausted yourself of all of your attachments in this dimension. The moment that you relieve or exhaust all of your attachments in this dimension, bam, you're out of here. And my daughter, now that I know, because my middle daughter, who did not tell me none of this stuff, and even today, as Sheree continues to talk, everything is becoming more clear because she told Sheree all of this stuff. She told Sheree what she wanted done in her funeral on Thursday. How the hell did she know there was going to be a funeral? So my youngest daughter, my earth angel, told my middle daughter what she wanted done at her funeral. Now, so they were just joking and just talk, but that's how Shemora handled difficult issues, because she knew it was hard for us, but it wasn't hard for her. Shemora taught me, man. Shemora was my parent. Shemora taught me. I didn't teach her nothing. Everything that I know, Shemora taught me, especially when it comes to the ascension process. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, brothers and sisters, you've been lied to. You've been bamboozled. Jesus came and he did away with death in the cross. And he specifically said, death, where is your victory? There is no victory. Death don't have victory over you, brothers and sisters. Death is a transition to a place where your spirit can express, expose, and expand itself. And you cannot die unless you do not maintain your mental effort. And every day, every conversation that I had with my daughter, for the last 2 years, she told me, Dad, I am not willing to maintain my mental effort. I didn't get it. She kept telling me, and she kept telling me, and she kept telling me, but I wasn't listening. I was too busy trying to keep her in this dimension because I liked her physical presence. And she kept telling me, this physical presence is too limiting. She didn't understand the evil. She didn't understand all the shit that she went through with her roommate. Basic little stuff that was going on. She was calling me from college, and she was like, Dad, I don't understand. I went to class, and this happened, and that happened. And I said, Shemora, it's just little stuff. Just overlook it. She's like, Dad, I don't understand. People are evil. I said, well, Shemora, what happened? When my roommate came in, she turned on the light. She knows I have seizures. She knows I need my sleep. She was rude. And so I said, but Shemora, stand up to her. Look her in the face. Punch her in the mouth if you have to. Don't let that girl disrespect you. But she said, Dad, I don't want to do that. This is my best friend. She knows me. Why would she do that? Why would she disrespect me like that, Dad? Shemora did not understand the evil in this dimension. She didn't like this dimension, man. It was too limited. It was too small. Negros was too slow, too dumb. We didn't have the ability to operate and vibrate on the level that Shemora vibrated on. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, that each and every one of us over and understand the importance of paying attention. And that is why I'm doing the 12-hour series on the 12 spiritual senses, because we need to be tuned in. All of this stuff I've been on, but I wasn't able to speak on it with power because I hadn't been through it. Now that I'm in it, I'm in it to win it. We're destroying the yoke. This whole bereavement process, this whole grieving process, this whole crap that people do when they go to church, and everybody crying and sobbing and falling on chairs and all of that bull crap, that's not what we're doing. That's not what I'm doing. Now, I can't speak for my kids. They're not on my level. They're not supposed to be. They're not seen. They have not been where I've been. They don't know what I know. So they may have a breakdown. They may, sob and do all this stuff. Not that that's wrong. Not that that's, again, we're all at different levels. We got different places of overstanding. But this is not my first rodeo, boo-boo. I encountered this when my mama died when I was a kid. And I knew that this process and the thing that was going, I've always hated hospitals and funerals. And I couldn't understand why. I hate hospitals. I don't understand sickness. How can we be sick when we got a body that's designed to live forever? See, brothers and sisters, death is a continuous of a living process in which the consciousness or which the awareness is carried forward by the interest and the purpose or the destiny by which was established prior to. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says that God knew you in your mother's womb before you got here. You had a prior existence with the Father. You just forgot it. You just don't remember it. So when you die, your ability to carry your consciousness with you based upon the life experiences that you had that left an imprint in your soul carries and goes with you. The ability to carry forward your consciousness and your awareness. That's why they're trying to trap consciousness. They're trying to put it in a 5D. That's why they're doing everything to try to figure out how to trap your consciousness, your awareness, your perception, your spirit in this environment of the earth. See, everything doesn't make sense. The way that we grieve when somebody dies. Because it's like, what is the difference between death and sleep? Do you know that sleep and death is the exact same thing? Every night you go to sleep, you die. But what keeps you coming back? Why do you wake up the next day? The way that you wake up the next day is to understand that we are in a cycle and we are held into this body by three systems. And this is extremely important. The inability to understand the art of dying, the science of dying, the ability to prepare ourselves with the correct thinking and the correct sense of understanding using our 12 spiritual senses and getting out of this Luciferian, Piscean duality that's taught by the church today. It is morbid. It has the essence of fear, doubt, and unbelief. So when Jesus Christ or when Yahushua or when Yeshua ben Joseph came to this dimension, he established a new paradigm and he changed everything by making the monad, the M-O-N-A-D, which we call the NADS, which is broken down inside of the body. So inside of your body right now, your soul, the vibration, it runs along and it runs through your bloodstream, your nervous system, and your endocrine system. Those are the three cords that are not easily broken. When somebody dies, the bloodstream, life, the life of the body is in the blood. Leviticus. It broke that in Leviticus chapter 3, somewhere in there. And again, I don't have no notes, no scriptures. I'm coming out the top of the dome. I'm sharing with you what source code has shared with me. Because everybody, or a lot of people, including my children, we walk around and we're beating ourselves up and we're crying and we're mourning as if this was a traumatic event. Shamor wasn't caught in a park and beat to death with a hammer. She wasn't raped. She wasn't molested. She transitioned peacefully. She took a shower for a long time. She made her hair. She got, like, she did herself like she was going somewhere. She ran a bath water. She told my daughter that she was tired and she was going to relax. And she did something that she's never done before. And the 2 or 3 days prior to that transition, she did something that she's never done before. She talked about arrangement. She went to a theme park, and she wrote rides that she know that I would not endorse because they said, that could trigger your seizure. Everything that she wanted to do before her transition, she did the last 2 days of her life on this planet. And when I talked to her, her words to me was, "Dad, I cannot thank you enough for being there for me, for always being there for me, especially financially.
My sister Mo, that's what the father said. No, Dad, listen. You understand? And she told her mother, my ex-wife, the same thing, just with a different verbiage. Because she told her, you are a great mama. Thank you for being my mama. And she said, yes, Mo, I know. No, no, listen. And when we were sitting there at the conversation, Shamor was preparing me because she knew. Now, I didn't know. I knew, but I didn't know because I wasn't using all of my 12 senses. I was like using one or two. I picked up the vibe, and this is death. I don't care what definition you get from no reverend, no doctor, no bishop. Death is the inability to maintain a mental disposition. When you do that, you die. It may take a while for your spirit to leave your body, but Shamora told me emphatically, for 2 years, I am losing my mental ability. I don't have the desire to be in this plane. And I said, Shamora, well, what about this? Well, what about that? What about that? But if I'm native, if my vehicle that I'm using while I'm in this plane doesn't allow me to experience this plane, I don't want to be in this plane. Now, she didn't say it in that many words, but that's what she was saying. But I wasn't paying attention. Because we got 12 senses. We got our physical, we got our spiritual sense of touch. We got our spiritual sense of what I call thought patterns or group of related thoughts. That's the second sense. We got the spiritual sense of thought. That's the second. We got the spiritual sense of the word. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you is probably never been taught. You've never been heard. What at our ascension service, at the homegoing service, it's not going to be nothing that you've ever seen. You won't see this done nowhere else. But I'm sick and tired of doing tradition. I'm not doing tradition. Question Moore told me what she wanted in her funeral. And she told my daughter. And I'm so glad that she told somebody else besides me. Because I don't want my children, and I don't want you looking crazy at me thinking that, well, I don't understand why the brother, he should be crying. He should be sobbing. And he's over here partying like you know, it's 1999. Because that's exactly what Shamora told me that she wanted me to do. Yeah, I ain't going to be wearing no black. I ain't going to be walking around with no veil over my face. I ain't gonna be walking around freaking like, you know, I just lost something. Her essence is still here, brothers and sisters. I felt it last night. Upon death, the soul stays in this plane anywhere from about 24 to 48 hours, depending on who you talk to. And I was talking to my children, and Shamora visited everybody last night. We all sensed her presence. So this watered-down Christianity stuff that most people got, I don't do that. Y'all know I don't play church. So I'm keeping it to you real. Because, again, I didn't read this shit in no book. This is real life. My baby is not coming back. I won't see her walk through my front door anymore. I won't experience the joy and the pleasure of going picking her up and the conversations and listening to her iPhone, her playlist. And she was like, Dad, she would just automatically get in the car and change the radio station, plug up my iPhone. She said, well, what are you doing? Like, Dad, I can't listen to that stuff you're listening to. That girl's range of music went from freaking country to jazz to hip-hop to R&B to worship music. Her playlist encompasses everything because she encompassed everything. You see, my brothers and sisters, your vibration, your frequency, or your wave, or your vibration, it runs along your. I'm gonna use the word gonads. We put it back. It runs along your emphatic system, your limbic system. Dr. T has a great book out that, you know, I think she's already released it, if I remember correctly. And in her book, it's called The Secrets of the Lymphatic System. When you die, that vibration leaves your lymphatic system, your endocrine system. This is biologically proven. Call your doctor and ask him. And I didn't learn this from no doctor. I learned this from talking to Shamora. And the way that you can tell is the first thing that they did when Shamora died, was they taped her eyelids, because you can tell in a person's eyes when they get ready to go. Because it's the spirit is withdrawing, or it is disconnecting the vibrational, I call it the silver cord. Remember the movie, The Silver Surfer, the X-Men? That's what they was talking about. Remember that guy, he went over, he was on a silver surfboard, and he was totally silver. Now, silver, white. What is the color of the number zero on your life optimization chart? Anybody got any zeros on your chart? Silver. The Silver Surfer. Now, I'm over here thinking I'm being a guru, making stuff up. And all this stuff I do is written in books 30, 40, 50, 100,000 years old. How the hell I know this stuff? Y'all think this is my first rodeo? You think this is your first rodeo? Now, I don't know Reverend Dr. Bishop is going to tell you this. I know you may think this is your first rodeo. You just don't remember your prior existence with the Father. I do. I'm getting tuned in. I don't know what y'all doing. I don't know if y'all going to play church, but I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm not doing this cray-cray, watered down, broke, busted, and disgusted stuff no more. I'm changing the world. I'm changing the globe. I'm leaving a legacy in Shemora's name so that when people know what the hell is going on in this dimension. That's what my daughter taught me, and that's what I'm sharing with you. For anybody who want to know, stand the truth instead of King James Version, stick around. I got something for you. You see, my brothers and sisters, we do not understand, but there's what Dr. T calls the dark side of recycling. Whether it's food, whether it's your spirit, whether it's your life, the enemy is trying to recycle you. I did the series a couple of years ago. It is called mitemkosis. It's a long word, but if you look at the word mitemkosis, it's the word my temporary psychosis. It's with the word psychosis. You're like psychotic. So this thing that we're doing, this death, this recycling that we do down here, this is ludicrous. Source code wants you to vibrate up out of here. But you got to stay here until you develop your mental constitution to the point where you're powerful enough to transcend here. So when you die, if you've not stood for nothing, if you did not elevate in love, if your toes wasn't curled, if you didn't wake up every morning with fire in your belly, if you still in Groundhog's Day, if you walk around here freaking, you know, the best thing that you can do is fun fighting and effing, if you ain't got no cojones, if you're not attached to something, if you're not willing to live for something, you got to come back. And the problem is nobody finds purpose. The only way you get off this rock is find purpose, to tap into purpose. Because guess what? That's the vehicle that allows you to transition. So you keep getting stuck here until you come in contact with either me or somebody else like me, excuse me, or you go to look at the source yourself, and all of a sudden, all of the stuff that used to hold you in this dimension, it don't hold you no more. That's when you D-I-E. Before that, you D-Y-E. Look at the definitions of those words. Go to dictionary.com, type in D-I-E, type in D-Y-E. Which one you got? Everybody on this call is going to experience what I'm going through. And if you can under, over, and understand the power of what Yahushua has already did or done for you and me, that is why Jesus Christ is the most watered down principle, frequency, wave of vibration on the planet. You cannot know D, you just have to get A. Negative thoughts and negative feelings cause blockages. The enemy knows that. He got to get you in a state of fear to keep your vibration stuck. So that way you cannot and you do not understand how everything inside of the body is designed to assist you to getting out of this undeveloped, emotionally paralyzing, polarizing disposition that we live. We live in a world that is based upon duality. And everything in this world is based upon this dualism. And the inability to see the true law of one-ism or love. Shemora was a walking, talking, breathing embodiment of love. that overrode the undeveloped and the emotional polarity of all people, even me. And so when I didn't understand the LGBT community and what was going on, Shimura taught me that this is deeper than gender. This goes way past that. You want to look at the soul of the individual. You can't judge them on their sexual preferences. And so my daughter taught me to understand the stages of the process of learning, loving, and then leaving. Learning, loving, and leaving. Learning, loving, leaving. Learning, loving, leaving. That's why you're here. Learning, loving, leaving. That's why you're here. Learning, loving, leaving. That's why you're here. A lot of people don't want to leave. You're not supposed to be here. You're a spirit that has possessed of a soul that's manifesting itself through a body. You are pure consciousness. You're not a soul. You're not a body. You're pure, unlimited consciousness. Unlimited. Soul is limited. Body is limited. You're not. And that was Shimura told me. The limitations of this dimension was too small. So Shimura was here to help me learn, to help me love, and to prepare me for when it's time for me to leave. That's what you're here to do as well. But many of us, we do not go through that three-step process because we're afraid. Many of us are waiting for verification. That's what I've been doing all my life. I was waiting for the endorsement of the Reverend Dr. Bishop. I was waiting for the attaboy. I was waiting for that pat on the back that says, good house, Negro. I was waiting for the approval of the dominant culture. I've been waiting. I've been afraid to step and walk in my true light and my true power of what I know internally. As I broke down on Sunday morning, the definition of the word esoteric, it is the ability to know without being taught. All my life, I've had the ability to know without being taught. I didn't need no reverend, no doctor, no bishop, but everybody else had one, so I figured, oh, I need to go in too. So when I went up there and they laid hands on me and everybody fell, I looked around, I looked at the corner of my eye, so I fell too. When everybody shook, I shook. But I didn't understand the ability to know without being taught, because it's given to you. Source code has already downloaded your script inside of your DNA. So Shimura taught me how to express myself without being taught. What I'm sharing with you today, I've been knowing. I just did not have no proof until my daughter came over and proved it, lived it, and walked it. And I've always waited before, because I know there was going to be some fool that's going to come up and tell me, well, brother, I can't find that in the scriptures. That's why I cannot no longer engage with low vibrational entities. Can't do it. I've tried, like Shimura. Shimura, like that, I can't do this no more. I do not have the mental effort to hang out with quote-unquote Christians. I just can't do it no more, man. I can't do it. I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Man, but y'all go do y'all, man. I ain't got time for that weak jelly back, broke down Christianity. I don't got time for that no more, man. I ain't doing no damn Christian service. We having a celebration. I'm having a celebration. That's what y'all going to see at my daughter's ascension party. Because I was her father. And she was my teacher. And I learned and I loved. That's why I have no problem with letting her leave. So you won't see me broke down, bent over, crying like a newborn baby. I have no problem letting my daughter go, because I know she's going on to a fuller life. She's in a better place. She's freaking traveling the universe right now. She's in her astral body, because I help her establish it so she can drive her macabre wherever she wants to go. She got a better body. She got a glorified body. I don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him. So I'm not here to debate about Christianity, about this other bullshit that everybody else is talking about, man. People are dying every day, and they're getting trapped in this dimension because they're not establishing their makaba, their life optimization chart, that circle, that is your magic carpet. That's how you're able to move around. That's how you transcend time. That's how you can let somebody, when they decide that they do not want to put in the mental effort and fight anymore. It's a fight. It's a struggle. You know you're in it every day. You got to fight every day. And you got to deal with the IRS. You got to deal with the government. You got to deal with the DMV. You got to fight for, you know, you got to pay taxes. You got to go to the morgue, pay your mortgage. Every day you got to fight traffic. You got to go to work. It's a fight. And Shamora was fighting in her head 24/7. She didn't get no days off like me and you do. When we go to sleep, we rest peacefully. Shamora didn't. That was a mental takeover. That was something trying to hostily take over her body every seizure. And I watched it for 19 years. And she told me that I'm just freaking tired. But I could not let her leave because I didn't love and learn. If you do not learn, you cannot love. And if you do not love, you cannot leave. You will be stuck here. That's what reincarnation is, the inability to love. I refuse to hang out with people who do not have the capacity to love. I refuse. There's too many people who still stuck on stupid. And 90% of the people on this planet is stuck on Christian stupid. That is, it is impossible to have a God of love and you walk around and you hate. Look at our conversations, man. Why do we only get together when somebody dies? People calling me that I ain't even ever heard of. Man, don't call me now. She said, where was you at when I was, you know, when I needed you? You know, all of a sudden somebody dies in the family, Negroes come out of the woodwork. Why do we only get together during funerals? We can't work together because we do not know how to love. My daughter could talk to anybody. That girl was light years ahead of her time. I had no idea, and I'm her father. I've been in the presence of greatness for 19 years. And I had no freaking clue. Now, that's what I'm crying about. I'm not crying because she's not here. I'm just crying about I could have learned more. I could have spent more time in the presence of greatness. I should have hung out with her. I put things before that I shouldn't. So if you see me crying, I am not crying because she's not here. I'm crying because of the missed opportunities to learn while she was here. So I don't need nobody to, and I know that's just routine. That's what we talk. But you ain't got to call me. You got to offer no condolences there, you know. I don't really need that. I know that that's part of the grieving process and the five stages, and I know I taught that, teach that crap too. That's only one stage, brothers and sisters. That stage is awareness. Once you become aware that death and sleep are exactly the same, the only difference between death and sleep is those three cords that keep your silver cord connected to your physical body. If something happens in your bloodstream, that's cord number one. And what happens, that loosens your grip on this reality. Talk to anybody that's having problems with their blood. Anybody. Your vibration, your essence, your chi, your prana, it runs along the Pingala and the, what's the other one? I forgot the other one. Those two, the pneumogastric nerves, that contains or that houses the ruach or the pneuma or the spirit inside of your body. The soul, if you want to use that term, is preserved. Leaving is not possible unless there is something violent or, again, something demonic or evil And that's a whole other study for another time. I'm talking about total normal lymphatic immune system function, where your blood, again, is not diseased. Your bloodstream is good, where your lymphatic system is good, and your nervous system or your vibratory rate is good, because, again, those are the areas that the soul travels, or that the mind, will, emotionally, imagination, and intellect travels through your entire system. So death is the removal of those three things: the bloodstream, what we call the nervous system, and the lymphatic system, or the endocrine system, or the endocrine system. Look at the word endocrine, and look at the word doctrine. So your doctrine, it allows you to go in. It's your endocrine, or your endocrine system. So what is your doctrine? If you got bad doctrine, you're going to have a bad lymphatic system. And I'll talk to you guys about, you know, Dr. T's book, The Fountain of Youth. Everybody should get that book. Another book is called A More Excellent Way by Dr. Henry W. Wright. I do not have the time to go over, obviously, in this setting, the depth of those two books that explains biblically, because I know y'all like y'all scriptures. I'm not mad at y'all, like mine too. But it gives you all of the biblical references that you need to explain every physical dis-ease inside the body is a result of an undeveloped and emotional polarized disposition. Remember, death is when your mental constitution is not strong enough to keep your consciousness in your body. Now, I don't even know how I knew this, other than what source codes told me, that you knew it before you got here. When I started and I wrote my books and everything I've been doing, I've been focused on three things, and everything all my life, I told Samora one thing. The way that BJ had the same problem. And I told BJ and it worked a lot better for BJ. My oldest son, he suffered from severe seizures too. And I said, BJ, you got to fight it mentally. They say, hostile, it's mental. It's not physical. Go in your mind and will yourself. And it's not a physical will, it's the spiritual will. It's using the will, W-H-E-E-L, not the W-I-L-L, as I now know. So when I first started, I used my strong mental constitution to maintain my vibrational frequency or essence. But I didn't understand the circle of Willis. So the first book I wrote is called The Science of Willpower. I still have it out. It's a great book. I read Think and Grow Rich. I read The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. I read all of the Dominant Cultures books. I went into the self-help. I spent 20 years, brothers and sisters, 10 years. All of my 20s, I spent immersed in the self-help movement. 10 years, totally immersed in self-help. And it was all about what? Willpower. It was all about the mind power. It was all about you, okay? I want a new car. You make up your mind you want a new car, and you go out and you get that new car. That's low vibrational. That works, but it's Luciferian. That requires a lot of mental effort. Now I know willpower is willpower. But the will is the circle. It's the W-H-E-E-L. Remember, we're in a world where the enemy takes linguistics. That's why he gave you the son. And he says, you are a son of God. So he just gave you the S-O-N, but he didn't give you the S-U-N. He didn't tell you anything about how you are animated by the sun. You can't live without the sun. Let the sun stop shining. Everything stops growing. Everything that you know is over. So it is the S-U-N. That's why the Egyptians had that right. And then we got to go to the spiritual level, and it becomes the S-U-M. So the sun is the sum. Phonetically, they're very similar. Like everything on this earth is about understanding, is it D-Y-E or D-I-E? Phonics. The God of this world is a phonetic God. That's why they taught you phonics, because hooked on phonics, notice the word hooked, That's how you get trapped in this dimension. This dimension is a dimension. Look at the Tower of Babel. Go back into the Bible. Read that story again, and you will see why you're trapped in this dimension. Not you personally, but, you know, people you know. What does that mean? The Tower of Babel. It says that they was on one accord. They had one mind, and it was at nothing that they could not accomplish. And then what happened? That God in that Bible, he introduced something called Lane Goo Age. I've already did a show on Lane Goo Age. Y'all know what it means? God of War. You want to war? If you want to fight, start talking. Because you may speak Spanish, and I may speak French, and you may speak, you know, an African dialect, and I may speak Japanese, I may speak Chinese. We can't communicate. So our cells, when cells can't communicate, what happens? That's called cancer. You're going to DYE and come back. So communication is actually deportation. If I want to deport your ass, I just got to communicate verbally. That's why I don't communicate verbally. I look for energetic connections. Last night we broke down the first of the 12 senses. This is what Shamora had. That's why her chakra, her wheels, her macabre was activated. That girl is known pretty much all over the state of Texas. I didn't even know. A lot of people knew her because they was impacted by her. So the will is not the W-I-L-L. It's not your, oh, just I'm just going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. I'm just going to, I'm just a bulldog tenacity. That's what I was doing. That dog's going to hunt. It's your will. It's the W-H-E-E-L. First, number one, are the 12 spiritual senses that we talked about last night. We're going through all 12. That is the spiritual touch. And people, how do you spiritually touch somebody? What is the first number of your chart in reverse? Mine. What is mine? Mine's a 3. Most of the people that we talked about last night inside of the class, which is really, 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 really interesting, was either a 1, a 5, or a 3. So in order for you to touch, what was Shamora's? Shamora's was a 1. That's why Shamora never did anything like anybody else. Why? She was an independent thinker. So the way for her to leave a spiritual impact on your soul was for her to be a leader. That's why she had a spiritual impact on a lot of people. The way for me to have an impact on your soul is to be an informed communicator. That's why I do these shows. I'm very informed and I'm communicating. So I'm leaving an impact on your soul. That's why I'm touching you spiritually right now. Because why? I overstand my will. And that's your job too. So that way we can communicate spiritually to each other. So that way I can sense, regardless of your location, hey, all of a sudden your image pops up in my head. You know what? I haven't called Sister So-and-so in a while. I haven't texted. Let me text Sister So-and-so. This text says, you're a beautiful, you know, woman of love and light. God bless you. Hope you're having a great day. And at that moment, you just touch that individual's soul, and you're showing them by expressing, exposing, and expanding yourself. They learn, they love, and then they can leave. And it's not, I'm not talking about physical leaving. I'm talking about they can leave that dispositional. Because maybe they're feeling bad, and you call them, guess what? They leave feeling bad. They elevate their consciousness. Now they feel good. All because you did one thing. You was tuned in to your 12 spiritual senses. My daughter taught me that. Now, I didn't even know that I was in class. Now I know, more so than ever. I knew I was listening, but I wasn't active listening. We all do that. We listen, but we're not listening. See, we're not listening to learn. We're listening to reply. I was listening to correct, and I wasn't listening because that's my daughter. It's my job to protect her. At least that's what I thought. I didn't know that she was protecting me. I didn't know that she was educating me. Because as I told you guys right now, this is God's honest truth, I would probably be banned from school, maybe, you know, possibly incarcerated, or, God forbid, you know, something else, as in being violently removed from this planet. But as I talked about yesterday, her drama teacher at high school, yeah, if I'd have met that dude off the campus, I don't know how it would have went. And Shamora was a glue between us. Because Shamora taught me everything that I know about living in this dimension. So that way I can learn, I can love, and then when it's time, I can lead. So number one, brothers and sisters, it's very important. Take care of your bloodstream. Until you finish your purpose. Number one, before we get into these three, again, because this is the transition part, this is like death on death. Death ain't got no power over you. You leave when you want. How? When you finish everything, what do? You take your mental effort out. When you accomplish everything on your chart, when I've done all of the 6339 stuff that I'm supposed to do, when I look at my, I'm total awareness. So when I bring the level of total awareness to this topic and every other topic that source code has given me, then the vibrational activity which emanates from the etheric part of my brain, which is the CSF, which is the corpus callosum, which is the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, and hypothalamus, when that vibrational activity that has been emanated, and the way that it emanates is it responds by the word. So I direct my vibrational activity by my words, and it reacts to whether or not I keep the spirit in the body or I pull the spirit out of the body. And the way to pull the spirit out of the body is to lessen the effectiveness of the bloodstream, to lessen the effectiveness of the endocrine system, and to lessen the effectiveness of what I would call the nervous system. Now, you guys know there's 12 systems inside of the body. So all of these 12 systems are part of the second of the nervous system. So it's the blood. The lymphatic system is by itself. The endocrine system is by itself, even though it's all part of these 12 systems, and this is part of the Hindu culture, the Eastern culture, and the other culture, and it's called I forgot the word. It's NADIS. I know Dr. T knows. She studied abroad and studied over there quite a bit. I don't know the correct phonics, thankfully. Like I told you guys, I never really learned that phonics stuff, which for me is a vibrational advantage. So whenever your bloodstream become affected in any particular way, that loosens that silver cord that I've been talking about. It starts to break away your connection to all of the 12 primary meridian lines inside of the body and the 12 systems inside of the body, including the nervous system, you know, the lymphatic system, the endocrine system, skeletal system, all of the systems inside of the body. It starts to loosen their grip. And then over time, there's a process of detachment that starts to take place. There is a relaxation or lack of fear. And Shimura started to display that. And I thought that she was becoming more comfortable with the ability to understand that everything that she was wanting to do, I was in a position to do. She was really concerned because, as I said before, her cell phone stopped working. She was really concerned because she was transferring schools. She knew it was going to cost some money. And she was really concerned, so I had to physically show her that I had the money set aside for her. As I talked about on yesterday's show, she was raised in an environment where, you know, her mom had a different disposition, and that's okay. You know, and I noticed that for a lot of women. For me, again, because I was raised in a non-stable environment, so I lived by faith since 8. So for me, when I say live by faith, that means you have no idea how you're going to pay your bill on Friday, and it's Monday. All you know is it's going to get paid. That's faith. See, there's a lot of people who walk around and talk about Brother Will, especially Christians, talk about, praise Jesus, I'm living by faith, brother. No, Negro, you ain't living by no faith. You got you a cush job in a government place that you've been at for 20 years. You got a nice car. You live over there in the suburbs with all the white folks in your big old house, which, hey, give me that. I'll take it today. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But I'm just saying, let's be crystal clear. That ain't faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, it ain't faith, man. People walk around talking about they live in the walk of, they walk in the life of faith, and I've been walking that life since 8. Now, faith is when, like I was doing when you was, when you 13 and you walking around on the streets and you got nothing to eat, you don't know how you're going to eat. That's faith. Faith is you don't know where you're going to sleep. That's faith. Faith is when you don't know how you're going to get through school the next day because you ain't got nowhere to shower and you know you're funky and you've been walking around and stuff and you go to first period, and instead of going to first period, you go to athletics. So that way I purposely took athletics the first period every 4 years of high school. Why? Because I knew that they had a shower. I was the only person in my school that showered every day when they went to school. Because everybody else showered at home. I ain't had no shower. I was going to take a shower at. I ain't had no home. That's faith. Faith? Man, y'all better stop playing. And people walk around and tell me about faith. Are you serious? Nah, but boy, that ain't faith. I don't know. You know, no. That's faith. Faith is the ability to know something's going to happen when there's no evidence. That's faith. Like the word esoteric? Esoteric is the ability to know stuff without being told. You know. Everything I'm telling you, I already know. Nobody had to tell me this. I already knew it. But I didn't have the cojones to say it. I know exactly what needs to be done. Because I was born in the month of September. Because my name starts with the letter W. Because I got a certain blood type. I got certain attributes and characteristics. I got a certain life path number. All of the attributes and characteristics on my circle, it activates my circle of wills. You got 12 cranial nerves that come together in the crown of your brain. They are controlled by the frequency of wave of vibrations, if we want to use that term, from on high, from the Most High. And from the Most High, that frequency, that wave of vibration, assists you with knowing stuff because it comes from the constellation through the zodiac down into the brain. But what happens is we got tradition. We got things that, again, allows us, if you want to use that term, to affect us. Now, what does that simply mean in plain English? In plain English, only thing that means is there are certain things that override us. And those things that override us stop us from being us. My job and your job is to make sure that we tap into us. That means the kingdom of God is within. What Shamora taught me was how to go within because she had a lot of solitude time when it was just her. Her road dog, her best friend, her ride or die was her brother, Kendrick. In elementary school, teachers would pull me over and say, I've never seen a brother take care of his sister the way he does. Kendrick would walk Shamora to every class to make sure she got there in elementary school without being told. I never told him. Everything that Kendrick did for his sister, I never told him. You want to talk about esoteric? You want to talk about faith? You want to talk about being tuned in? The kingdom of God is within. You do not love and you do not live by paying attention to things that are outside of the body. You learn, you love, and you leave by paying attention to what's going on inside of the body. So my brothers and my sisters, I don't know if there's, and I normally don't do this just because it's really dangerous when you open the lines up and let people, start talking and comment because it can go bad quick. But do you have, is there anybody that's on the call today that has a specific question or comment about the topic that we're discussing today, and that is this ability to understand that freedom that comes from removing yourself from the limitations of this body. Death is that process of stepping into a fuller life. You do not have to be afraid of that process. You have to understand it, overstand it, and understand it. That is the case for everything on this earth. There is nothing on this earth that is any different. This is about learning. You're here right now to learn. The things that you learn should teach you how to love. The things that you love will teach you how to leave the things that you don't. So when you select something, you have to leave something else. So we love this world and everything in this world. We love the lust of the flesh. We love the lust of the eyes. And we love the pride that comes from having a big house. The pride that comes from having nice cars. The pride that we get from having, you know, a fancy title. The pride that we get from having, or you know, a private jet. So if you are, you know, Richard Branson, if you are Elon Musk today, if you're Oprah Winfrey, if you're Beyonce, if you're any one of the stars, you have a lot of attention. You have a lot of pride that comes from being Beyonce, Oprah, you know, Richard Branson, you know, Mark Cuban, any of the quote-unquote elite. Those are the things, again, that keep us from being us, because those are not the things of the Father. Shemura did not have none of those things. She never experienced what you and I experienced in the area. She never got a chance to go on a date. We should talk about it. Dad, what does it feel like? We would talk about different things. She, well, I can't really speak on it. I don't really understand it. I don't understand why people would do that in a relationship. She couldn't understand why her roommate would lose her mind after having sex. She like didn't make sense to her. And we would talk about it. She didn't have the lust of the flesh. She didn't have the lust of the eyes. Or the lust of the lust of the eyes, and the last one, the pride that comes from owning or having a lot of stuff in this dimension or in this world. Because if you read that verse in 1 John 2:16, it says that those that have those things, that's not of the Father. That's not of the big G. Because see, you can have those things, but those things should not have you. As I've said before, and I say again, like Paul says, whether I am, a base or whatever the other scripture goes, basically, in whatever state you find me in, whether I'm rich or poor, you know, whatever state I'm in, I'm content. I'm satisfied, meaning I have understanding that, hey, number one, it's not going to last forever because it's temporary. I'm just passing through. The ability to live in this world without this world living in you. The ability to own things without things owning you. If you own something, then the fact of living your life without something causes you some severe issues in your life, then you might want to check that something. Now, I'm not saying that we should be walking around here, taking vows of poverty and all this other craziness. That's totally. I'm just saying, you can actually have a lot of. You can be a very, very wealthy person. You can be a billionaire. And you own the billions. The billions don't own you. And brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us to do not love the world or anything in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what Shemura taught me. Because I had a lot of the love of the world. And it wasn't until I released my love of the world that I started attracting the things of the world. Because now those things, they don't own me. Because all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, along with all its desires. But whoever does the will of God, but it's not the W-I-L-L, it's the W-H-E-E-L. Whoever does the will that generates, because G-O-D, operates and directs, dear Kenil, or destiny. You are here to maintain a mental disposition that is generated by you, that is operated by you, that is directed by you, to take you in a direction that was designed by you. It's very important, brothers and sisters, because the ability for you to separate yourself from the things that own you. I'm not saying that you can't own them, but I'm saying that they can't own you. Because the moment that they own you, that stops you from being you, and that destroys your spiritual essence, that keeps you from operating in your 12 spiritual senses. And then that establishes what is called, again, a longer period of time for you to quote unquote shine. It is very, very important that the vital principles that are being prepared inside the body prior to your exiting the body. So tomorrow I will do a part two as we go further down, give you some biblical proof of what we're talking about as we get into the Helios Biblios and break down that scripture that's in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, that talks about the condition of peace and the willingness to go must be exhibited by the dying person. That's how you know that that person has learned, loved, and now they're ready to grow, go, to leave. They are very, this is the process of detachment that everybody goes through during the death, dying, what we call death or what we call dying, what I call ascension or transition. The transitional process, that's going to be a relaxed. Shemura just got really relaxed. She was totally detached of fear or concern. There was a total lack of fear. She did rise. She ate food. She did things that she normally would not do because that is the process of detaching, preparing the body for exit. You're preparing the spirit to exit the physical body. Biologically, this takes place in, again, the primary meridian lines inside of the body and in your lymphatic system and in your bloodstream. They actually start to coagulate and they start to establish what is called the final departure, where the blood starts to withdraw from the extremities and it moves towards what they call the door of exit, your organs. And your blood, this is all biologically, but scientifically proven. The body knows before, and the blood, you can tell it in the person's blood because it starts to pull towards the, again, survival. Well, the blood rushes from the extremities and it rushes into the vital or the center of the body. The eyes loses their focus. There's a lack of fear. There's a condition of peace. There's a willingness to let go. There's this ability to release the mental effort to maintain and to fight, to stay in the body. And the body then starts responding to what is called the dissolution process. Because if the body doesn't respond to the dissolution process, the person doesn't die. And that's when we get into people that have a coma, people that goes into, you know, got to be on life support. Because what happens is they did not prepare the body by taking care of all of the things that attaches the spirit to the body prior to the exit. The detachment process, how my daughter knew that at 19? How did she know anything about the detachment process? I had not taught that because, again, even though I knew it, I didn't teach it because I didn't have no evidence. And my daughter exhibited all those stages before death. So she took out the sting of death. And that's the same process that Yahushua taught. And it's extremely, extremely, extremely important, my brothers and sisters, because each and every one of us has this ability to understand this transition process. And so tomorrow we'll continue with part two. And if anybody has any questions, you can go again, you can just email me. I may do a little Q&A tomorrow if someone has a specific question. If not, we'll go through the scripture. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We'll go through more of the detachment process so everybody can understand what happens during the transition, the ascension of what we call the death process. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, that each and every one of us understand what happens during this process. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. You hear the name written on the side that no man or woman can pronounce. And may the Ruach continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because there was never, ever, ever meant to be.
I never want to let you go.
Don't you forget, Mia, you the light, don't you forget, Scarlet, you the light, don't you forget.